Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Your favorite boys are back in action. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Welcome to the Silver Boys Podcast. Man, Kyle, it was a weird week, I'd say.
Weird week, but a lot of stuff going down.
Yeah.
Compared to the last, 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of signings, yeah. A whole lot of things just going on.
It's like everything was on, delay.
Exactly.
And then after that, just, all hit you at one
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
But, all right, let's get into it. So, first of all, sending praise and thoughts to Bronny James. Cardiac arrest when he was playing basketball, just hoping and praying that he's okay.
Yes.
And that we get to see him this year and in the following years as well.
Yes.
Let's get into it. So the NFL seemed like they were just giving away money this week. let's start it. All right, so I'm gonna set this one up for you. You might get a little pissed off. Andrew Thomas, Giants left tackle, gets paid 5 years, 117.5 mil, $67 million guaranteed. How do you feel about that, Kyle?
To be honest, I mean...
It's a give and take thing.
It really is.
Depending on how you look at it.
There's pros and cons on both sides. I mean, you give this guy 5 years,
117 mil,
but then you looking at Saquon and you're like, I don't know. I don't think we should give him his money. I don't know. It's just to hear that news in comparison to what
Barkley
yes.
is getting. So Barkley signed the 1 year deal. You know, he's gonna get the 10.1 mm-hmm. fully guaranteed. He's gonna get $2 million up front. And he gets $1 million in incentives if he gets the incentive. So he has to rush for over 1,350 yards, and they have to get a playoff berth. He also has to have 65 receptions and 11 touchdowns.
11 touchdowns, which is doable for him.
Yeah,
doable.
That's easy work as long as he stays healthy, obviously.
Yes, obviously. But it's just, I don't know. They only did that because they absolutely had to.
Oh, yeah.
And they only gave him that 1 year deal because they knew he wasn't going to sign the franchise tag.
And they knew that they'd be cooked without him.
Exactly. They know what their offense is. And for them to wait until essentially almost the very last day,
yeah.
even days after he was really supposed to sign the franchise tag tender, it was just...
Yeah, they literally just signed him just so that he could, at least be on the field for training camp.
Exactly.
And be, prepared for the season.
Exactly.
But the thing that sucks, though, is that... hearing from executives and other league sources is that it doesn't matter what type of year that he has, whether he has the greatest year ever or the worst year ever, mm-hmm. his market is not going to change. Mm-hmm. No running back's market is going to change.
No, that running back market, basically because of the new CBA agreements that happened, with NFL a couple of years ago, it's just that running back market is trash. Let's just be honest.
It got thrown to the wayside. So basically, they use you up for 2 to 3 years. And then after that, they put you on the franchise tag. And then by the time you're off the franchise tag, because the league span for a running back is literally only at least 5 years.
5-6 years,
exactly.
I'd say.
So by the time you get to 26, 27 years old, they think that you're damaged.
You're done. And that's the only position where they look at your birth certificate and they'll be like, he's 25, 26, 27
yeah,
years
like
of
he's,
age.
Like
he's,
older.
He's cooked. No, that just does not make no sense.
It's not even
it's their fault. It's just the mileage.
It's just the way that the game
the mileage that you're putting on these running backs' bodies because you want to pound them into 300-pound linemen. You understand?
It's the way that the game is played. It sucks. And honestly, it shouldn't be like that because they are pounding into such, they're going into the teeth
mm-hmm.
of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that you would show more appreciation towards them.
You would think so.
You know what I mean?
But no, I think the NFL sees them just as damaged goods, to be honest. Eventual damaged goods.
And it sucks, too, because you see Barkley only got that 1 year deal. But then we see, like I said, Andrew Thomas gets that 5 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
DJ gets a 4 year, 160 mil. Dexter Lawrence gets 4 years, 90 mil.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Cam. It's just, tell me what position Andrew Thomas is again. I'm blanking on it. Left tackle. I mean, you need somebody to protect Daniel Jones, though.
Yeah, you need somebody back there.
But for 5 years, 117 mil, that's, and you won't even give Saquon 13.
That's tough.
if I was Saquon, Saquon's very, he's very, intent on team success. Like, he's very, like, he wants the team to win, and he wants the team to do well.
Right.
But when your left tackle's getting 5 years, $117 million, again, like I just said, you might look at them and be like, wait a minute. Like, where talking about fair compensation.
Where am I in this?
And where's my fair compensation for what I've done to this team?
And how I carried you guys last year, basically.
Okay, like,
basically.
There is no playoff berth without Saquon.
Correct. But moving on, we got Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert just signed. He just reset the market himself for quarterbacks. Justin Herbert signs 5 years, $262.5 million extension, with 133.7 fully guaranteed, 193.7 with injury guaranteed, which potentially brings him over to 218.7 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Big contract.
Mm-hmm.
Resetting that market.
He deserves it too. He plays so well. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch.
Justin Herbert is generational talent, to be honest. Like, he's going to be that dude. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to get his team to the Super Bowl within the next 3 years of that contract.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing that sucks is that he's in the AFC along with the other juggernauts. So, you know, you just have to figure out ways past them. But, yeah, no, other than that, he's fully worthy of that contract. He's must-see TV.
Yes, I agree. I'd still think Jalen Hurts should have got more money, but that's just me.
I put it to you like this. It's very tricky when you want to get your money because you don't want to reset the market, but at the same time, you do.
You do. And then it's just, he just got, think about it, he probably would have got less had he signed earlier like Jalen Hurts did.
Right.
And then if Jalen Hurts signed later, Jalen could have got more.
That's why everybody waits. So, like, that's why Lamar Jackson waited, you know. That's why Jalen Hurts, Herbert, and then now at the last one that still has to do their deal extension is Joey Burrow.
Joey Ice. So,
Joe Burrow.
He's going to reset.
He's
going to
be up there.
Talk about resetting a market, though. Like, he will do it.
Yeah, but it's not going to be by much, though. They're not going to let him do it by much. Give or take a couple million, but it won't be that by that much. You could tell the NFL owners are very, very stingy.
Yes.
Very stingy with their money, so. But. Oh, another big signing, Trayvon Diggs, got 5 years, $97 million. He's worthy of that, too, because he's one of the catalysts on that Dallas Cowboys defense.
Absolutely. Along with Michael Parsons, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He definitely does deserve it. He's one of the best corners in the league.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah. So
He's a ball hawk. Like, anywhere the ball is, he's going to end up getting there. And he's going to end up, like, taking it, too.
Yes.
Like, it's going to get snatched out of the air by him. Like, I remember I had the Dallas Cowboys – team on fantasy, and he was carrying
that
me.
That did the defensive side,
He was carrying me solely. So, yeah, now he's worthy of that contract as well. Dalvin Cook visits the Jets this weekend, so who knows what's going on there? I know Breece Hall is supposed to be coming back this year from his ACL tear that he had last season. And Breece Hall is tough.
Breece Hall is nasty,
because
man.
If he didn't get hurt, he was gonna win Rookie of the Year easily, in my opinion. From the way that I've seen it. So, yeah, no. If they end up getting Dalvin Cook, that's just...
I mean, with the pay, like, cut that
Aaron Rodgers took,
yeah. They cleared, like, an extra, like, $35 million in cap space. So, if you wanted to do it, like, now's the time to do it.
Yeah,
and he lets you do it. So, shout out to Aaron Rodgers for even, like, you know, not even just being about the money. Like, he's like...
He understands,
let's go now. Like, he looks so bought into me. Like, you know,
different
from the last, like, 2 to 3 years at Green Bay, where it was like, oh, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Like, is he going to go somewhere? Like, he looks so down over in Cheese City. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, now that he came back to New York, you
could tell, like, his whole energy has shifted.
It's different.
I'm excited to see that.
It is different. Especially it's different when you actually know that you have a team around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a solid team around
defense,
you.
Defense, great.
Defense is awesome. Like, one of my favorite defenses. Yes. It's probably going to be, I believe that under Robert Saleh, I believe that this defense will be top five this year.
I can safely agree with that.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. Sauce Gardner is just getting better. And Sauce Gardner is different.
Bro. Sauce is nasty.
Sauce is different. Like, there are guys out there, like Devin Witherspoon is another one that I like too. But Sauce Gardner, he's one where I could put him on an island by himself, and I know I don't even have to look that way.
Like,
I know he'll be fine.
Don't.
He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, before the Giants had signed Saquon, they signed James Robinson, who was running back. He was running back for the Jaguars. He had like a breakout season for the Jaguars a couple years ago. And also they signed wide receiver Cole Beasley, who was with Dable when they was up in Buffalo. Mm. So that was last Friday. So that's I believe those are actually pretty good pickups from what I see. I like Cole Beasley a lot. Somebody who he's rough. He reminds me of Wes Welker.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you just put it in his hands and he's going to make something happen.
Perfect person to put in the slot.
Yeah.
Like, perfect person.
Easily.
Short yardage situations. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's good with that.
Yes. Very and also, you know, he's a vet. He's been there, done mm-hmm. that. So, you know, he's been around. You know, he was in Dallas before he was in Buffalo. So, yeah. No,
I feel like any game that I've actually, like, truly even seen Cole Beasley, it's like this man is just running all over the field, everywhere.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
everywhere.
And he always has, like, a crazy stat. And he always has a nice stat line. It's always, like, a 5-6 yard receptions for, like, 90, 100 yards mm-hmm. and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always, like, he contributes.
Yes.
That's the biggest
yes.
thing.
He's efficient.
Me.
He's efficient.
Yeah.
Efficient as hell. I understand that. Yes. Yes, so that I'm honestly very happy, like with the moves that they made aside from the, you know, just not giving Saquon enough money, but they signed him, so we're here, we're there. Like, let's go. It's time to start the season now.
And I like that they have a solid back behind Saquon mm-hmm. too, and James mm-hmm. Robinson. You know, that's another name where it's like, all right, well, if Saquon might not have it today, you never know. James could be the one to have it today. So, mm-hmm. and they could also. You know, depending on their skill sets and everything, depending on how they look at it, from what I've seen a highlight where, Saquon had caught the ball in the end zone during training camp. He's mm-hmm. caught the ball in the end zone on the tippy toe. So you never know. You could use Saquon as a passing catch a little more. And
yes.
then you could use James Robinson to put him in, you know, run into the lineman.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So who knows?
That way you're at least not beating up Saquon too much.
Exactly. Now, you know, now yeah. Brian Daboll kind of has an embarrassment of riches mm-hmm. around him, which is really, really good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton. Sean Payton is going to be the coach of the Denver Broncos this season. And literally, I kid you not, one of the first things I seen when I woke up this morning is he said that the Denver coaching job is one of the worst coaching jobs that he's ever seen in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
And then he goes on to say, everything I heard last season, we're doing the opposite.
Much love for Nathaniel Hackett, huh, man?
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it sucks, though, because we all seen it.
He's not lying.
Like, we saw, like, from week one,
it was jumbles.
When he didn't call that timeout against Seattle in those final seconds to at least get his team on the field for a field goal, I think that's when I figured out early. I was like, yeah, no, this isn't going to go the way that we think it is.
It was like, that whole organization just felt like in shambles from week one. And
easily.
It was like, wait a minute, like, this is not anything that we've seen before. Especially like Russell Wilson underperforming so hard last year.
Man, that was embarrassing. That was the weirdest thing ever. Cause like watching him just go completely off the radar. You know, and remember that Thursday night game with them and the Colts?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Twitter going in a frenzy, like, bro, like when is this gonna end?
He couldn't wait for this game to end, man.
I've never seen people ask for an NFL game to stop playing. Like they were like, oh my God, it went to overtime. Why are you keep torturing us?
Oh my, yo, that's crazy. That's crazy, Cam. My goodness.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing because I was pissed. I was like, there's no way in the world y'all just going to keep. How do you not move the ball? Like,
yeah, that was a hard game to watch. That really was.
Yeah, no, I expect, obviously from Sean Payton, we're supposed to be expecting bigger things, bigger and better things.
Greatness.
From Denver. Greatness.
Greatness.
Obviously, yes.
Come on.
So, obviously, this means, you know, we will be more competitive and we will win more than how many games they win? 3 games, 4 games last year.
About.
Yeah, the only way from here is up anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Pretty much.
But anyway, Sean Payton, I'm actually happy Sean Payton's there. I think that this is the perfect coach for Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. You know, identical to Drew Brees, almost in a way, you know, mm-hmm. short stature, but you know, just gotta play by Sean Payton's rules. And from the looks of it, you know, Sean Payton did his thing with Drew Brees, so I believe everybody was waiting for
Sean Payton to come back and coach.
Oh
anyway,
yeah,
so it was, you know, he got some, he's gonna have something to prove.
Oh yeah, and he took a year or two off or whatever, mm-hmm. so you know, he gets to, I like sometimes you have to take a year or two off too, because you get to lay back and like actually look at the landscape.
You look at the landscape, you see the way the game is changing, you see what's happening, because it's not like you're just in the front office or like, you know what I mean, in your office, in the coach's office.
Correct.
Focused on that, now you can see everything, the whole landscape. Yes, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, all right. Well, moving on, college football. So the Big 12 have voted you, I believe it was unanimously, to accept Colorado. Colorado will be applying for a membership into the conference. Just this season coming up now, BYU and UCF will be in the Big 12. And now possibly Colorado in about next couple of years, so that's actually pretty big for them.
Very big, very, very big. Deion Sanders, man.
Deion Sanders. He's crazy.
Yo, he's putting that place on the map.
Bro, that's insane to me. Like, I never thought that I'd see like such like movement. I never thought that I'd see a coach with this much magnitude. I think I used to think the only coach that would have this type of magnitude, but. You know, obviously he does, but you know he doesn't have to have one. Is Nick Saban?
I could argue,
Kirby Smart. I would put in Kirby. There now. There's so many others out there too.
And even the head coach from Clemson.
Oh, Dabo.
Yes.
Dabo for sure. Yes. Yeah. The way he brought back that Clemson program is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. But what Deion Sanders is doing is that's a blessing.
Yes, that's, it really is. It really, really is.
That's a blessing.
I feel like he's gonna end up winning a college football championship like one of these years. I don't know if it's not gonna be with Colorado, but he's poised to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. He's poised to do it and he's gonna get it done.
Yeah.
That's just the type of man that he is.
Let's see, another thing. Oh, Michigan and NCAA are working toward a 4-game suspension over recruiting violations. From Harbaugh. So, what do we think about that?
I mean,
it's only 4 games. Michigan's still talented. They'll be fine, but still.
Yes. I got to reserve a little bit of judgment on that because I got to read into it a little bit more just to see like really like what he was really doing,
right?
And like how he was violating the recruitment process. But you know, college football is not going to stand for that. It's, in any type of way.
It's weird, though, like, the whole recruiting process, but then you got, like, you know, I could basically sign kids to an NIL deal before they even step on my campus. That's weird.
Very weird. And even COVID, like, messed a lot of things up. You got a lot of kids coming back for the fifth year.
Yeah, more than like, the fifth year. I got like, dudes coming back for 8.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, that's crazy. That's just crazy.
But yeah, no, like I said, the 4-game suspension. So his last game suspended will actually be against Rutgers when Rutgers goes up to Ann Arbor and plays them. So who knows? Maybe we catch him on a vulnerability. Very, very vulnerable. So who knows? Maybe we could catch him.
Catch him slipping. They like, oh man, it's our last game before Harbaugh comes back. Let's get him.
Rutgers, you know, it's funny. Rutgers does actually play Michigan pretty closely for majority of the time, too, especially since Shiano got back there.
Okay.
I remember last year, if it wasn't for a false start that Rutgers had, Rutgers actually could have potentially kept the game close throughout. But then, you know, penalties, you know, and, you know, Michigan just being a superior, more dominant program, they were, you know, they ended up coming out on top and blowing the borders off of them in the second half. But throughout that first half, Rutgers
they
actually
was giving
kept
them
it close.
A run
they
for their money, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing the year before. They actually kept it close throughout most of the game when they were up at Michigan. They kept it close throughout the whole game, but then Michigan ended up prevailing at the end. But Rutgers, transition over to Rutgers, Rutgers shows me a lot about their grit and how well that they actually play together and how much they really want it. You know, and that's one thing that I've always gave credit to Coach Shiano for, especially like even before he came back. Well, you know, that first stint that he had with Rutgers, it was always about, you know, just the grit and the grind and everything and make sure, you know, you just getting the best out of your players.
You do the dirty work and you reap the rewards.
Yep, and the Big Ten is for sure dirty work.
You're so right about that,
it's
man.
It's for sure dirty because think about the division that they're in. They're in the division with Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State.
Yeah, that's like, those are juggernauts.
Exactly.
juggernauts.
And the first two, Michigan and Ohio State, are usually the ones that are going to go to the CFP anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to figure it out, figure out a way to do it, to get past one. If you get past one of them and then ended up having like a good season beyond that, you put yourself in pretty good positions to get somewhere in one of the bowl games.
Bowl games, and then even when they extend to that 12-team college football playoff.
I'm going to be very interested to see how they maneuver with that, because that's one that you won't really know how they're going to seed everybody. Because
you could lose more than two games and probably still end up the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Depending on who you win against.
Exactly.
That's what it really comes down to for most of it. Like now, like, yeah, you could take a loss, but it can't be a bad loss. Like, it can't be to an unranked team. You know what I mean? It can't be to one of those. It has to be to another. If you're in the top five tier. Yeah, if you're in the top five, you can only take a loss to a top 10 team. You can't take one to like a 20, 25.
No, not even 11 or 12. Like, mm-hmm. No, you're gonna get bumped out.
But then the things that sucks though is that it all connects. So say for example, you're Bama, you're the number 4 team. Mm-hmm. You play the number 1 team. Okay, yeah, you beat Georgia, whoever the number 1 team is. But then after that, you lose to a LSU, who could possibly be like a number 10.
Mm-hmm.
But then LSU ends up beating Georgia. So what's gonna happen LSU is gonna take over that top spot, and LSU is gonna be the one to make it into the SEC championship instead of Alabama. It's stuff like that comes into play, and that it will give you a headache, but it makes it so exciting because it's like it's literally. You can't have any errors.
None whatsoever. You got to play a perfect season, man. In college football, it's crazy.
And I think that's the reason why we celebrate Nick Saban so much, because of how many times he's actually done it.
He did it for years and years and years on end. Best college football coach there is.
Oh, yeah. He's the greatest of all time. It's not even close. But moving on to the NBA, Jaylen Brown has landed himself the richest NBA deal ever with 5 years, $303 million.
Hopefully he can invest in some better shoes so he's not slipping and sliding all through the court anymore.
Hopefully he invests in another left hand. That's what he needs.
I mean.
Yo, they posted. Yo, did you see how after he signed, how they posted dude with one arm playing
Emmanuel ball. Emmanuel Hansen, something
I think
Hansen
his name was something
yeah.
like that. I don't want to get the name wrong, but yeah, no, that was messed up.
Yo, that was they said beyond
stupid,
foul.
Like, this is how Jaylen Brown's gonna be playing for the next 5 years. I was like, Jesus,
that's beyond foul, man. But everybody sees it. Everybody sees it.
Because he couldn't dribble with his left hand this past season.
I don't get it. I don't get it, man. I really, really don't. I don't. But
I mean, in terms, yes, it's a good signing. But,
great signing.
It's going to be weird, though, because like we talked about yesterday. When we was out yesterday, we talked about this. How often do you see guys win when your two best players have the same skill set, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been one of those, oh, yeah, like Tatum and Brown are both having 30, like, every night. No, they haven't been that.
It'd be like one is having 30 and the other guy has 17,
exactly.
12 points.
Exactly.
So it's like.
And more times than not, the one that has 30 is going to be Tatum because they favor Tatum, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, it's weird. Not everyone's a Kobe and Shaq. Not everyone's a Bron and D-Wade. Not everyone's a Stephen Clay.
You know. Mike and Scottie. Like,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, even Mike and Scottie drastically had differences. You know, Scottie was a little stronger on defense, which allowed Mike to do more on offense. You know, and both of these guys are strong on defense, but someone's going to have to take that reign on defense and be, you know, someone's going to have to take a little more on one side so that the other can do a lot more on the other side.
Mm-hmm. You can't crowd the floor and be waiting for one of you guys to do something in ISO ball out on an island by himself. No. You got to have continuity. You just have to.
Right.
With two dudes who you were just saying have the similar skill set and they can't really offset each other.
Right.
You gotta figure something out. And that comes to Joe Mazzulla kind of figuring that out.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's it.
And Tatum and Brown as well.
KP.
Committing to really playing off of each other to where you're not crowding each other as well.
Right. Then also Derek White just got, I'm pretty sure Derek White is going to be like the starting point guard now.
Word.
So, yeah, that's another piece to factor into. Yeah, he's gonna have to figure that out as well.
He is, because he's not a one. He's not a one. He's like a two.
Yeah, more so of a two. Yeah, more so of a two, because he could play the one. He's very solid at the one, but he's more so of like a, you know, if you need a spark.
Yes,
he was one of those. Like, yeah, especially for them last year when they needed a spark.
He was that guy. Yes.
So, the NBA season, when we get there, that's going to be fun. But football season is
ramping up.
Yeah.
Ramping up.
Next Thursday is the Hall of Fame game. If I'm not mistaken, that's the Jets and the Browns, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh.
So, yeah, little nugget. Hard Knocks coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Jets will be on Hard Knocks after everybody and their mom tried to fight it and tried not to be on it. And then the NFL was like, look, you're just going to have to do it. But, I've always been like a big, you know, sports guy. So like all that Hard Knocks stuff,
I love Hard Knocks, yeah,
stuff like that. I don't care who's on it. I'm gonna watch it. I don't care.
Just to get that inside.
Yeah,
like,
just to get the inside. Yeah,
you want to see how dudes are. Outside of the football field.
Right, and you become more fans of them too. Mm-hmm. Like it makes you appreciate the game a lot more. Yep. What was it last year? It was Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you couldn't tell me Detroit was gonna do what Detroit did, but if you watched Hard Knocks, you knew Detroit was going to do what Detroit did last year because of, you know, you got that all-access field.
Yep.
Dan Campbell came out. He came out firing, basically. Every day he comes out firing. So, credits off to Hard Knocks for an amazing job that they keep doing every year. And I love that they now do the in-season Hard Knocks,
yes,
too. And, like, and was that November, I think it is, that they do it now. So, yeah, no, pretty good.
Cannot wait, man. Cannot wait.
So close. We're so close.
We're right there. So right. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
We're right there, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. So yes, close. Sir.
I can't wait for football to come.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm getting so, like, as the weeks come, like, go, I'm getting way more excited.
Yeah, no. Like, usually after my birthday, that's when I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now we're here now. It's here now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. Thank you all for listening once again to the Silver Boys podcast. We appreciate all of you guys. Stay cool out here because it's hot.
Hot.
Terribly hot.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and happy early birthday to my man, my host, my fellow co-host, my boy for life, Cameron Silver.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You know you're going to turn up this weekend, man.
Yeah, man. The big 2-5.
Cannot wait. Yeah. Cannot wait. Let's go. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you all. Thank you. And we'll be back next week to talk more football. And
cannot wait.
Later.
Have a good one. Thank you.